Can I use that? That's good.
He's trying to sell you a car.
So, I'm trying to sell you a car. Here you go. I've got a car for you. All right.
For free.
And so as I was kind of pondering, you know, coming up here, the title of this message is, it's my title, the title. Come on, title, where are you? Title. The title is called Time to Get Bloody.
Whoa.
Time to Get Bloody, right? So, that's unique, okay? So,
I like it.
Time to Get Bloody here in New Zealand at
Raitihi.
So, I wrote down, stop trying so hard and just let him be in you. Okay? You can't earn him. You can't perform good enough. You definitely can't be clean enough. He made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He did it. Stop trying to get cleaned up. Stop trying to be like somebody else. Let him come in you. Okay? Don't try to work it out. Let him in, and he will work out of you. He somehow likes working with people. I haven't quite figured it out, Dale. You know, I don't like a lot of people because people let me down, and da-da-da-da-da. But God loves us so much, and love is very patient, you know, and he sees things beyond us, right? Matthew 11, verse 12. In the King James, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. As I felt, you know, when I found out I was coming this way, it started when I actually landed here in New Zealand. I felt there was some kind of deal where, especially on the men, that we were being, and I was saying we, because now I feel I'm part of y'all here in New Zealand, that there was, we were being, trying to be nice about the kingdom. Nice. But this verse says, the violent take it by force. Not the nice, not the kind, not the proper, but the violent. This is the same, in the violent, when I think of the word violent, I think about Jesus who made a whip, turned over tables and said, this is my house, my Father. It's a house of prayer. That is not the simple Jesus that goes and says, hi, how are you doing? Please come in the kingdom. I really need more people there. I'm getting bored. That is not what Jesus said. Jesus said, he made a whip. It wasn't like, making a whip takes a bit of effort. He's making it. And the guys are going, what's he doing? It looks like a whip. It can't be a whip because that's Jesus, the nice guy. He's making a whip and all of a sudden, he's got a whip that's probably a good 4 feet, 6 feet long. And they're going, is that a whip? And all of a sudden, he starts doing this. That's a whip. And then the guy goes, that can't be. You know, he felt that scar across his face. Now, I used to do a little, and we used to do shower thingies, right? You ever been, like, cut by a towel? This is a real leather whip that Jesus made, and he cleared house. He went through the temple deal and got everyone out of there. That's a man violently passionate for his Father. We need to be the men of God that get the same passion and zeal for what's on his heart. The reason why we don't have it, because we won't go to his heart.
Amen.
We're afraid because for a lot of reasons. Just like I was afraid to hear. But one time I had this vision. In the vision, I said, I came forward to the church. And I said, hey, if you come forward right now, the power of God is available to destroy the chains of bondage that you guys have on. And I give this word, and I'm waiting for people to run forward because I just felt that. That's a cool word, you know. Today's the day. Be free. And he'll destroy the change. No one moved. I sat down and I thought, man, I guess I missed it again. I sat down in the pew and I thought, and I said, Lord, if you ever feel like you missed it, go back to the Lord. Don't ask people. People say, yeah, you missed it. But go back to the Lord. I went, God, I thought I heard your voice. He says, you did. Then why is anyone moving? He goes, they're afraid of my power. I said, what do you mean they're afraid of power? They're thinking the power will destroy them and not their chains. So I went back up and said, excuse me, part two. Part two of the word. Don't be worried of the power of God destroying you. The power is going to come against your shackles. God has great aim. You know, it's kind of like, you know, Superman's eyes. He can focus it on just that part. But sometimes we get so identified with our problems, we think we are our problem. We think we are the thing that's holding us back. But we are not that. God's really good at separating. Who are you? What are you looking over there for? I asked you. You looked over there like, do I have permission to speak? Dad.
Eli.
Hi, Eli.
Hi.
What's up? So, Matthew 11:12, King Amplified, from the days of John the Baptist until now, present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. On the way up here, I was sharing with Pastor that I think athletes are the best believers. Because we know there's a price. And we're willing to pay the price for our game. We're willing to pay the price to be the best on the pitch, on the field, whatever's going on. If we take that into the kingdom, okay, Father, what's our goal? Take that city. Okay, how do we do it? Okay, what? All right. But there's a zeal needed. The same kind of passion you see when you go to any rugby, any game, the fans going, that thingy. That's a zeal that has to be in us to do this stuff. The Bible says faith works by love.
Okay.
Is that?
I'm just saying the haka.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I was watching videos on the haka, like, before, as I knew I was coming here, I was like, oh, haka, haka. And I watched the videos, and I was watching that, you know. And I'm like going, what? I know it's a warfare thing, and I'm thinking, if we could channel that passion into the church.
Come on.
Yep. And I was like trying to, you know, and there's a video up there of this wedding. And it's a husband and wife, and then these guys are doing the haka.
Yeah.
You seen that one? And I watched it, I'm like, whoa. And when the groom does it back, I'm like, oh, game on. And then when the ladies do it too, I was like, okay, we're having church here. We're that group, we could take our nation.
Yeah.
And then go on with that.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking like, I thought that's in New Zealand. What if they kind of move that just a few feet? And what if instead of worship, everyone stood up and went, ha! And why not? Well, that's reserved for the field. It was started in rugby, and yes, I saw it go to other sports. I watched the video where they did a haka against the American basketball team. It was like, they were like going, remember it's the NBA team?
Yeah,
they were like going. But you notice, they didn't care.
No.
See, too many people in the church care what other people think.
Come on.
But the rugby guys, it's now part of the DNA. If you don't do a haka, you're not New Zealand. You know what I mean? But the church is, churches like this, in the world's eyes, if the church isn't losing, it's not the church. But once it sees a victorious church that doesn't mind persecution because it knows that in the day we're going to win and overcome. So, Pastor, you've been with them by bringing a haka into the church. Just a thought.
Already.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
You do? What's everybody else do?
Hey?
What do they do?
Who?
Your congregation.
Haka.
They do?
Not in the church yet.
Okay.
But that's what I want.
No pressure.
No pressure.
Yeah, these guys.
You have got your own haka too, right?
Huh?
You have your own haka too, wouldn't you, Fiji?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Same thing, eh?
Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
But New Zealand's different.
So.
Precious DNA.
So let's think here.
Yeah.
If the violent take it by force, how do we become that violent, zealous, kingdom shaking, not stopped by people going, I don't think we should go to church on Sunday, and you should talk about my free rights to be homosexual and stuff like that. Keep that inside the church and don't bring your opinion outside. How do we, in the kingdom culture, affect culture, right? There's going to be some public displays of something, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be some public displays of love for the Father. When they did the haka, I mean, it sins. I mean, I'm not used to it now, but the first time I was like, going, what? You can't do that. That's illegal, you know? When the haka came, when they did that outside of New Zealand into the European cultures, they were like, I'm sorry, that's not proper. We've been in the church way too proper. Okay? Because it's not the proper take it, the violent take it. What do you mean the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence? Well, there are all kinds of other groups up there that are trying to take the territory of the land. But the kingdom of God will not be conquered by anybody else. Okay? To enter in the kingdom of God, you have to have the heart of the king. Okay? How do you get the heart of the king? He's a great surgeon. He will put his heart in you if you spend time with him. But what if I don't spend time with him? You don't get his heart. Period. But what if I go to church a lot? That's nice.
It's nice.
But you'll become a violent zealot for the king.
How you look at violence too.
Yeah, come on. Bring it. Come on. Talk more.
See, as a haka, we also take the land as well because it belongs to God.
Come on.
And that's where all our zest comes out from who it belongs to.
Yeah.
And we back that through haka. So we stand as a warrior and we'll die for what we believe in.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that we get out of it.
Yeah.
To say, you know, is having a bond with them.
Come on.
Oh, well, that's all I can say, anyway.
And that is awesome. I mean, when I was first asked to come here, and I was really, I came for the land and for the people of the land. Those two, in that order. And I'm going like, I don't have a scripture for that guy. But I knew there was something about the land. And actually, the first message I taught here, I said, I believe that the land called everyone that's abiding in New Zealand was called here by the land. Both the Maori and the non-Maori. The land is called here for a purpose. And again, the land needs you. And my first meeting here down the South Island, I was, after worship, I was laying there. And then when I got the microphone, I said, folks, when I was laying down in worship, I felt like I was laying on top of all of New Zealand. And I felt like I was breathing into New Zealand. And you think about...
When you say it about he spoke from his mouth, that's what he created. That's what we believe in.
Yeah.
Whatever come from his mouth, and,
He
created
it. Yeah.
And that's what we feel.
Yeah. So since we're created like him, we need to keep doing the same thing from our mouths too.
Yeah.
So I was bringing life into New Zealand. And so I said to the congregation, I said, whoever was an intercessor here who really believes this, I said, here's a tip for you. You should, on your own time, lay over the land, lay over New Zealand and breathe into that. And that's reconnecting the land, right? So that. But yeah, there's something about our role. And on the way up here, I was talking about the Whanganui River. Someone needs to start taking management over the river. Not just the land, but over the river. Because if you don't do it, some witches and warlocks and shaman will. Okay.
Well, the government's already there. They're trying to move in there now.
Go ahead, what? What's it mean?
Government. They're trying to move in there now. So we've got people that are set up for their thing, for Treaty of Waitangi and all that, for claiming the lands and that.
Yeah.
But they are sort of bickering between each other, so it's conquer and divide.
Yeah.
So they use that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Divided, you cannot stand. Yeah, there's something. I did a little bit of history, and I remember somewhere, I made a little history research of the land, and I saw somewhere that there was the government did something to stop the Maori from being spiritual. Is that ring a bell?
The language away.
The language?
Our parents, our tupuna, meaning our grandparents.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to speak. We weren't allowed to speak our native tongue.
Wow.
At school.
Yeah.
At school. And because the European didn't, and you know, they couldn't understand what the Māori was saying, so they get a whack. So they was deprived of our parents back in the days.
Yeah, yeah.
Do not speak your native tongue, otherwise they get whacked with a ruler.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of, yeah.
Yeah, I saw there was some, in that same vein, there was some kind of ruling that the whoever your spiritual people were couldn't, not practice medicine, but they wouldn't allow that as a form of treatment, you know. So they kind of put away your spiritual side of the Maori too.
Because everything that we use in the forest, we use as medicine.
Okay.
Because the Lord, Father says, I give you everything.
Yeah.
Herbs and spices.
Yeah.
You know, for healing.
Yeah.
So the herbs more or less come from us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is if the government says, hey, you can't use black containers because we say so, but the father says that there's life here, then the violent will listen to the father and not listen to man. Okay?
That's right.
Right?
That's
right.
Okay? Or you submit and you lose out. Right? And you're inciting it right. Yes, I am.
We have radicals here.
Yeah.
We're all radicals.
Okay.
And so, yeah, but that's government.
Okay. But what's not against the government, which is one thing, is to build up that zeal for the Lord. Okay? So that he shows you a way to be who you're called to be.
Yeah.
Okay, not just go, one day we'll have it our way, we'll vote them out, we'll vote something in. That might take a while. But as you still keep running into the Father, Father, what do we do today? Father, what do we do? And your heart gets, that transplant of his heart becomes your heart. And, and you know, all of a sudden, you just, you know, all of a sudden you're doing public hakas. What are they saying? They're saying, we're taking back. What? Who are they? They're the mighty ones in the land. And you become like, wow. So the government right now is acting just like Goliath. Okay? Just like Goliath. Goliath came out and said, okay, look, here's the deal. You send me someone to fight, and whoever wins, we'll do it that way. But no one's come out of the Maoris to fight the giant called the government. Okay? One Maori guy, he was full of the love of God, full of the zeal of God, said, who is that uncircumcised government agent saying that you can't use that wood? Right? That's what David said. Who is that uncircumcised Philistine who's talking against the King of Kings? My God. Why do you have that zeal? Because he spent time out there with the sheep. Well, there's sheep in New Zealand. Yeah. He's out there with the sheep, worshiping God, knowing God intimately.
Yeah.
Okay? If you stay in the outer court, no intimacy. You get intimate, things are produced out of intimacy. You'd have no kids if you stayed in separate rooms, correct? Most of churches in separate rooms. God's way over there. We're going like, thank you for salvation. See you in heaven sometime. God's going, can we talk? I'm busy working for you. That is not intimacy.
Good stuff.
Okay? So to have this kind of zeal, you have to be close. You know, how does iron sharpen iron? This, a spark comes. We're like this with God. Hey, we're dancing. But intimate dancing leads to producing kids. Right? You have kids, right? Okay, right? Did you get that from being in separate rooms?
No.
If you say yes, I'm... Come here, your dad to tell you something. You came from a test tube. That's not true. Stay there, stay there. Eli's very confused now. What? I thought mom and dad had a... No, okay. Do you have that talk yet? Okay. Stay far away. Don't listen to this tape. It's bad. There's no such thing as intimacy. You're okay. No haka, it's okay. Siri, not a bit. I want Siri on my thingy back. Come back. Okay, open. So, requirements. In 1 Samuel, if you're taking notes, 1 Samuel 30, verse 1 through 6. Now we're talking about David. So David, in the short version on 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1 through 6, David's awesome. He's out there killing folks. Same guy that worships a lot. Worship, violence, worship, zeal. There's some connection there, right? Anyway, he comes back from battle. He comes home to Ziklag. And, go away. And he finds out that all the women have been taken. Well, they're out in war. The ones are both great and small. Everyone's taken captive. No one's killed. They're all been taken away. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the town and found it was burned. And their wives and sons and daughters were taken care of. This is bad. Verse 4, then David and his men lifted their voices and they're crying. Very, very bad. David's going, even my wives are gone. What? You know. Verse 6, greatly distressed. Okay. I'm sure everything's gone, right? Now the men go, hey, dude, you're our leader. We left home for you. We're going to kill you. Right? Because the leader. Leader responsible. We're going to stone you. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He didn't say, excuse me, I'm your leader. You can't touch me. He didn't point to a crown. He went to the Lord and strengthened and encouraged. Rule number one, where do you go to get zeal? Where do you go to get strength? Where do you go? Where do you go? I go to the gym. Wrong answer. I go to rugby practice. Wrong answer. I go hang out with my mates. Wrong answer. I go to, where do you go, Troy? No. I go to the movies. I go get distraction. I used to run to movies for distraction, right? That is not encouraging myself in the Lord. That's not strengthening myself. Ephesians 6:10 says, what's it say? Find your Bible. Who's got a Bible? There's no Bibles anywhere.
Ephesians
6:10. Well, you can read it. It's not magic that I read it. You can give me a Bible. What you say? Yeah, what translation is that?
King James?
Doesn't matter.
NIV.
I want you guys to say, here's my Maori translation. Do you have a Maori translation?
I have one.
You had one once and you had to give it back to the government?
No. On the streets.
On the streets. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren.
Be strong in the Lord.
Yep.
And in the power of his might.
Whose might?
The Lord's might.
Yeah.
The Most High.
So, you know, in the Old Testament it says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We try to do things our own deal. We get pumped up. Pumped up is good, but we need to be filled with him. Okay? One verse says in Ephesians, be constantly filled up with him. You only be constantly filled up if you hang out with him. Okay? You need to figure out how to draw strength from him. And he starts with realizing you need his strength. David here is about to get killed by his own people. He trained them. They know how to kill, and he's just right there. Right? And he goes, time. He goes and be strengthened. And if Hebrews chapter 4, it says, these guys failed to enter into the rest. These are the guys that are in the desert, came out of Egypt. He says, I'll stop believing, and you failed to enter into my rest. Mm-hmm. This wasn't into my lounge for sleeping. This is into that place of being made renewed.
Come on.
In that place where you get your heart fixed. In the place where you get your vision sharpened. In the place where you see more than just the problems. You see the future. You see the 100 churches built in Zimbabwe. You see your storage rooms full and contracts. In that place, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. Outside the place, it's like, how are we going to do this? That team is awesome. The country's small. The people in the congregation are believing. But in that place, it's the right place. In the midst of chaos, you can step inside, because the kingdom of God's in here. You can step inside and go, Father, man, they're not liking my message. They're looking pretty mean. He's like, it's okay. Keep going. They'll turn. Are you sure? You know, don't ask them. You know, Don't ask people, because they're not sure. But he knows. What is the source of your strength? What is your source of encouragement? Where do you go for help? David turned to the place he knew was faithful. Always to say the right thing. As best as your buddies are, if they're down, don't go to them. You'll commit suicide with them.
Yeah.
You ever talk to a depressed person and you're down too? It's a horrible conversation. You know?
Yeah.
And you look at you like, you know, we really should have been thinking about this. I know, but wouldn't it be better just to, you know, say the word. He's like, you know, and you look at you like one, well, do you have a gun? No, why don't you have a gun? I have a knife. That hurts. So you start discussing depression without suicide. But you're such a punk, you won't go for it because it'd be hurting. It hurt. Do you know another way? I don't know a way. Well, let's talk about it later. Okay. See ya. You know, you. So, but.
Seeing you move away.
But David didn't do it. He encouraged, received, encourages. He injected courage.
Come on.
If you don't got it, go get it. God has it. Okay. The Father who loves you wants to give you things you don't have. Yeah. If you want to stand up, if you want to find a way to stand up against a wrong government, he has the answer. Mm-hmm. That's coming from American, that we did against England, right? 17th century rebellion against a greater force, right? Mm-hmm. But greater is he was in
you, yes,
than he's in the world. Who's in the world? Governments, media, public opinion, all of that. So if those things are bigger, they're Goliaths to you, you need to go into that place until those things become small. But right now, you're going like, we are like grasshoppers in the media's eyes, therefore we are small. Whoa, wait a minute. Now that is true until you change your perspective. Where do you change your perspective at? Heaven, where Father God is. Well, I can't go there. Excuse me, we live by faith. We need to be more comfortable in the unseen realm than the seen realm. This land and there's a few other countries that were really, really, really birthed in spiritual. They had more faith and trust in the unseen than the natural. The Maori people are that way. In my country, the First Nations people are that way. But we've done all our can to kill them, right? I've got some Cherokee and Choctaw in me. I was at a meeting one time and in Seattle. And I had a word for the First Nations people there. And I was like, please come to the meeting because I don't know who you are. Please come to the meeting. That was my strange prayer. So I do my first session. And this guy stands up with a hand drum. And I'm thinking like, what's he going to do? Worship's over. What are you doing? And he says, my name is, he gives his name. He goes, boom, boom. I thought, I like that. Everything, then he said this. He says, I'm from the Lakota people. Boom, boom. We are the strong people. Boom, boom.
Awesome.
Then he says this. We hunt the big people. Boom, boom. And sits down. I went, wait a minute. Did he say we hunt the big people? Now my natural mind was, he hunts fat people and tries to bring them into diet programs. But I knew that was just way too natural, right? I'm looking, but I knew in my spirit, when he said, we hunt the big people, I knew he meant they hunt giants. And for 46 years of my life, I've been trying to figure out, how did David, a little guy, fight something that's 20 feet tall? I mean, this physically, I know the, but there were other giants. How do you size up something that's like this? How do you, you know what I mean? And so I'm thinking, how do, you know, I've always wondered, right? And here's a guy who's, I don't know, 8 feet away, and out of his mouth says, we hunt the big people. And I'm like, I want to talk to that guy. Not a story, not a fable, not a Nephilim deal. We found giant bones, da, 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 da. A real person says, without a shame, we hunt the big people. I'm like going, what? And so the next day, I'm like, please. Did someone invite him? He shows up at the meeting. I give my word to First Nations people. I look to him, I go, did that resonate? Because the message is called, the First Nations need to be invited back to the table. We, the body of Christ, can't get things done without them. And then I talk some more. He goes, yeah, that works. I'm thinking, oh, wasn't that real? So by faith, it was, you know. So then I'm waiting. But inside, I want to tie him down and go, what do you mean, big people? You mean giants? Really, really? That's what I want to do, but I'm being nice. Hey, Dave. I'm Wally. So, tell me about yourself. I wanted to skip right to giants. Just skip. He goes, well, you know, I'm not full Lakota. I'm like, what? Well, maybe I should talk to the real Dakota. I don't. So I'm talking to the guy, and I'm listening. When you really want to hear something, you have to learn to honor people, right? Not rush them, you know. If you're sitting down with an all-black guy who spent 40 years to, or 25 years to be there, you don't go, dude, how'd you get the team? You want to let him speak his way, and, you know, if he needs a beer, you buy him a beer, because you have someone that you're honoring, right? And you figure out their way, right? So I'm like, I really want to tie him down for the spotlight. Tell me everything I need to know how to kill giants, right? So I'm sitting there listening and listening. He starts going, yeah, I grew up on the reservation, and my parents maybe go talk to old people. I'm thinking, tell me what I hear. Tell me what I want to know. Tell me what I know. And he says, and then my great parents started talking about our people. I go, ooh, maybe we're on topic. And he says, the Lakota got the name Strong People because out of all the other tribes, we're the only ones to build the longhouse. And it took a log, it was this massive log, and only they could pick it up. So they got the name as the Strong People. I go, okay, check. And I'm thinking, come on, I got the name now, but do you really hunt giants or not? So just give me the deal. Is this a little story? Do you go after giants or not? Or is it you hunt fat people because they're slow runners? You know, it's like, why not? You know? And so we get the conversation. He says, one day I was talking to one of my relatives, and he says that tribes would come down from as far as Alaska to our tribe. We replaced them in, so this is the map. Washington State is right here, okay? The northern part, northwest part of America. And their tribe was placed in the corner. And he says, we believe the Creator placed us there to protect the land. I'm thinking, protect the land from what? The Maori too? Okay. Ooh. So I go, okay. And I say, protect the land from what? He doesn't answer. He says, but he said that his grandfather, relative said, people would, in Alaska, it's like where Sioux is, right? From America. They would take canoes from Alaska, come down to find the Lakotas, to find the Strong People. It's a long way, right? Yeah. Now, I know the Maori came a long way to come to New Zealand, okay? The people came here and said, we need help. They get in canoes, go up to Alaska, and hunt giants. I'm like, I almost passed out. I mean, I almost...
That's the courage.
I'm passing out because they actually hunted. That they knew that there was a people on the planet that were designed to go for it. And I'm looking at the guy going, he goes, Wally, they used to run, the giants would run in packs. And I'm like, my mouth's hanging out, right? And I'm like, what? Now, the Lakota, they weren't giants. They were, you know, but something in them, they knew what they were designed to do. They believed the truth in them and not the external.
So, human beings and those with
them. Right. So people in New Zealand, so I'm speaking to New Zealand and I'm speaking to believers, don't believe the truth. They believe what they see. They believe the regulations. They believe the laws. they believe the majority and not the minority, not the Trinity, the three inside of them.
They believe in the worldly things.
Right. And if you'll start hearing the truth and then choose to believe it, let it grow in you. Okay? Let it saturate, let it marinate. And then you become one of those. That's what he did in the midst, that's what David did in the midst of being almost stoned. This is encouraging yourself. What has God said about me? What has God said about the Maori people? What has God said about your purpose? Don't think about what your dad said about you. Think about what your dad says about you.
Come on.
And over and over, and then you become unstoppable. You can't be killed. You can't even be put in jail. You can't be, because greater is he that's in you than anything out there.
You overcome death.
You overcome death. Because the truth is greater. Jesus says, I have swallowed death. Will you let life in you grow to the place that it swallows your doubts, swallows your fears? The Bible says perfect love drives out fear. You mean if I decide to be a Christian, I'll become fearless? No. But if you sit in his presence, he'll go, isn't that fun? You don't work it up. You let him work it out of you. Stay there until you're different. Stay there until you're fearless. Stay there until you're deathless. Right? Stay there. Don't leave too early. Don't leave half cooked. You know, if you behold him, your face has become radiant. We have gone in one time and thought, I'm ready. We get wiped out. I had a vision one time of, I was watching the Lord. He held a baby. And the baby could just talk. The baby looked at the Lord's eyes and said, hey, thank you for holding me. And they were, you know, the baby said, do I get down now? And the Lord said, no, let me hold you. And the next scene, the baby, it was a girl, and she was like a 12-year-old. She says, okay, I'm ready to get down. No, honey. She's okay, Dad, you know. The next thing, she was in a ball gown, like college age, right? She says, I got to be ready now. He said, no, you're not ready. She's okay. Then she was a mature woman. And I'm watching from afar. I'm thinking, okay, she's got to be ready now. I mean, it was a real gown. It was like a formal evening wear, right? And she was, you know, Lord was going, you know, doing this. And she goes, I know I'm ready now. I've been in your arms for a long time. I've been with you, so now I'm sure I'm ready. He says, no, really, you're not ready. She jumps out of his arms, takes three steps, turns back and says, really, I'll be right back. I'm going to go do something for you. And I'm thinking, good on you, right? She's not, you know. And I look back, and she walks off this way, and I'm watching her, and I think, oh, I look back at the Lord, and I see this tear going down his face. And I knew she wasn't ready. But she thought she was. Thought she was. She was leaning on her own understanding, not trusting in his words. So, wait for him to send you. If you're sent, you're equipped. If you're sent, you're empowered. If you're sent, you're ready. But if you go because you think you are, you're going to get smacked.
Killed it.
Good one.
Killed it.
Means okay.
Thank you.
That?
Means thank you. Killed it.
Killed it.
Hello.
I thought you guys meant to kill him. I was about to encourage myself in the Lord. Courage. Come on. They're coming. They're coming.
That's the next one. Okay. Hello. That's the next one coming.
Okay. Point two, since I'm still alive, right?
That's a good one.
Okay. If you, I'm still alive. If someone gets this tape without me. Okay, good thing there's no fear in me anymore. No fear. No fear.
Good stuff. And so,
so timing's very important. So, 2 Samuel 11:1. I got this scripture years ago. Have you ever wondered why awesome David, a man after God's own heart, why he ever did the Bathsheba thing, Uriah thing? Let me give you the answer. I know the answer. I wondered for years. Dude, how could he do that? Here's the answer. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. It's all about timing. In the spring, when kings go forth to battle, David remained in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He wasn't supposed to be in Jerusalem. He wasn't supposed to be in his house and looking over the deal. He was supposed to be in battle. Okay? Right, timing's everything. Timing and location. Where is the location supposed to be? In his heart. Mm-hmm. Timing. In the springtime, kings go to battle. Okay? Did you guys see the movie Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise? It's a wild movie. In the movie, it says this. An enemy that knows the future is undefeatable. Okay? Hear this. An enemy, in the movie, it's a wild movie. These aliens know the future and they deal with stuff. And so when the British forces go after them, they win some, then they change time, and then they change it again, right?
An enemy who knows?
An enemy that knows the future is undefeatable. That's a quote from the movie. Tom Cruise didn't say it, but it's the movie says it. So I'm going like, what? God, that's cool. It's about timing. So we're allowed to know the future too, because God knows the future. God will tell you secrets, but he tells his friends secrets. He doesn't tell people secrets. Doesn't tell saved people secrets. He tells his friends. Who are his friends?
Well, I thought since I'm born again.
Did they turn that on Christ by saying it that way?
Yeah.
They turned it on to make us look like the enemy.
That's right. Well, again, in the movie, the enemy is kicking butt.
Yeah.
There is just no winning, right? Until Tom Cruise gets bit by the enemy and he comes like them and understands them. There's something about the enemy. You need to know your enemy, right? Okay. And so he realizes the secret because he's a part of them, right? If you want victory in the kingdom, you need to realize you're a new creature of Christ Jesus and you are now one with the Father. And the Father is not bound by time. Okay. The enemy is. Now, the enemy's been around a long time, but he does in the future, right? He's playing the odds. He's hoping that you won't spend time with the Father. Okay. He's hoping you won't go ask for help. He's hoping you won't lean upon the Lord. He's hoping you will fight in your own strength. He's hoping all this. As a matter of fact, he's doing pretty good because we are leaning in our own strength. We are trying on our own. We are. But every once in a while,
there's no substitute for hope.
Say it again.
There is no substitute for hope.
There's no substitute. Even more so, I thought you almost said, there's no, so the hungry, I'm just now learning that. I saw it on video. It's very different when it's live. But just that whole thing of the exchange. That was funny. She said my first one was pretty bad. It was just early, Anyway, so there's explaining the hungry, there's the videos of the hungry, and there's doing the hungry, okay? I'm telling you to enter the Lord, you're like, oh, we got it. I'm giving you verses, and you're reading it. Then when you do it, well, I'll say it again.
It's not hungry.
Say it right. So I can learn it.
Hongi.
Hong.
Hongi.
Hongi.
Hongi?
Hongi.
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 So it's right on the tape now.
Hongi.
I apologize for all this.
Hongi. Not hungry.
Not honey and a hungry.
No.
Hong.
Hong.
Hong. Hongi.
Hongi.
Hong. Better?
Ni.
Hong. Ni.
Ni.
Nin?
N.
Ni.
Ni. Sing. Hongi.
Hongi?
Hongi.
Hong.
Sing.
Okay, we'll get the lesson later. Okay.
Yeah.
It's good though. We'll practice on that. So, timing. Time is now to be with him. Not later. Don't push it off. If we're serious about being violent for the kingdom, to live a life pleasing for the Lord, to live on purpose, to be intentional, timing. When do we go to battle? When he says so. Sent once, not guessing once. Okay? Big difference there. Psalm 149, verse 4 through 9. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. What? For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. That's time together. That's just like going, look, they're busy on earth. They're doing worship for me. I really like that. Okay? He's not got binoculars and, you know. When he says he takes pleasure, he's with us. Now, if you said you take pleasure in your wife, it's not like, hey, honey, I'm taking pleasure in you. I'm calling you from 8,000 miles away. If you did that, I'm removing your pastorship. Okay?
Nah.
Right. Pleasure is this. It's in the Hebrew, it's echad. It's, I got that. I know Hebrew. I lived in Israel for a few months. If I live here a few more months, I'll get the words down. But the union, there's life in being one with the Father. There's something being separate. But there's power, authority. I believe authority is only transferred in relationship. Okay? So the Father will give you authority if you hang out with him. You can get some scriptures, you can get some power, you know, you can get some power. But I believe the devil's got a lot of power too. If we were arm wrestling against some of you, I could take you. But I couldn't take all of you if you keep going one by one by one. But over time, okay, but the enemy has some time advantages, right? But he has no authority. He's got some power, but not authority. Okay? Big difference. Okay?
Big difference.
You don't have the power to go down the Whanganui River, Whanganui. Whanganui River, say it with me. What's the river called?
Whanganui.
The Whanganui River. You could not go stand in that current and go, stop! You don't have the power to stop that river. But I'm telling you, if you hang out with the Father, you have the authority, like Moses did with the rod, to separate an ocean. We need that. That comes from relationship. Don't run down there and go, that black guy said.
Let's go 30.
You'll be, help me. You know, that would be bad, right? And the pastor would never invite me back. We lost the congregation. They were trying it out. They were working by faith. That's called stupid, right? When the Father says, speak to it, that's authority. Right,
yeah.
Moses is a good friend of God. He goes, hey, speak to the rock. All right, did it. Tap the rock. No, first he said, speak to the rock. Mm-hmm. Second time, he had a staff now. He struck the rock.
Instead of pointing.
Yeah. Instead of speaking to it, right? God goes, now the rock's still open water. So we go by results, we think we're okay. Samson used to go by results too. Okay. We need to go by relationship, which is hidden, you know. I will never know if you spend time with the Father. You can text me, hey, Wally, I'm spending time with the Father. Okay, I'll believe you, right? Get a little text, you know, send me an email, woohoo, you know. But when it's go time, it's
He's
go time.
He's never left our side.
Is that?
He's never left our side.
That's right. But have you left his side?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Well, I know. So it's not that point. The point is, we don't have to. Okay, it's a choice. Okay, nothing can separate me from the love of God. The thing is, we can walk away from the love of God.
Yeah.
But nothing, no demon can pull you out. Okay,
only yourself.
Only we can walk away. So, if the Lord takes pleasure in His people, He will beautify the humble with salvation, and adorn the wretched with victory. Wait a minute. This is Psalm 149, verse 4. He will beautify the humble. There's a scripture that rocked my world when I was in college. It's the New Testament. I'm sorry, I don't remember the reference right now, but it says that God gives grace to the humble, but I think it's James. Was it James or Peter? Is it James? Okay, you can find it. But it says, God gives grace to the humble, but stands against the proud. When I first heard that, I think in 1979 or 1980, I knew I was proud. So I thought like this, oh, Wally, one day you'll be humble, you'll be a nice Christian that does everything I ask you to do. But until then, you're proud, so I've got to kind of point my finger at you. Okay? But that year, my Bible teacher, Colonel Yearout, brought the Greek out. And so that verse in the Greek, stands against, is a military term.
James 4:6.
For those on the tape, it's James 4:6. Stands against is a military term. It means God in full battle array comes against the proud. I went, what? Wait a minute. I knew I could maybe one day take on the enemy, you know. But I knew for a fact I could not stand against God. And now he's ready to fight? Holy schmoly. So this pride thing isn't just something he goes, he hates the pride and he's going to crush it. So Wally, you want to hold on to pride and be crushed or let it go, right? So I was going like, this humble thing is kind of good. What is humility? Believe what he says, know what you think. Mm-hmm. Humility is believing what he says, not what you think about it. What? Mm-hmm. I thought that was arrogance. It will look like arrogance to most Christians, non-believers, and people. It'll be that whole tall poppy syndrome. Well, that doesn't work for you right now. Don't listen to them. Humility is believing what God says about you, not what you think about yourself, not what you experience, and not the results.
You don't have an heart. Father doesn't have an heart.
I like that. Doesn't him at all. And so, we got to stop playing games with ourselves. This is not a time for games. It's a time for union, and then be becoming violent, and take it by force. The force of love. We think love is just hugs.
Yeah.
That is not love. That's something.
Helping your brother.
Come on.
Love is helping your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. It's effort involved. Right. Faith works by love. Okay?
Love has structure.
Love has structure. Perfect love drives out fear.
Faith, what did you say?
Faith works by love. I think it's in Galatians or maybe it's Ephesians. But look, he beautifies the humble. What? Beautifies. Cleans up, makes right with salvation. Salvation is just been heaven. Salvation is healing. Salvation is deliverance. Salvation is freedom. He says he adorns the wretched with victory. What? You don't deserve it, but you get it. You don't deserve it, but you get it. He gives you victory over everything. He does that. You don't work where he does it. Verse 5. Let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty which God confers upon them. We think that's, I feel good, I got goosebumps, glory, glory. Glory is the same authority and power that Adam walked in. When God said, tend the garden, he's equipped with the glory of God. In Romans it says, sin's called to fall short from the glory. Glory is like if you were the president of the United States, voted in. You have power to do what you really want to do. Because your heart's right, you can do it now, right? But when you get voted out, you've fallen from that place for whatever stupid thing you did, right? If you were the king of the world or whatever to do, if you're placed there, you can do stuff. When you leave that spot, you're not as effective. But God gives you the glory. He promotes you back to that first place. That's the glory. It isn't the feeling. It isn't a shiny. It isn't a smiley face. It isn't a song. It's, I'm now back. I'm his son. I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. The Father looks at me and says, son, what do you want to do? What? He asked me what I want to do? You're my boy. He wants to trust you with New Zealand. And whoever else country you're listening to, he wants to give you. What? It's my... Fear not, my little flock. It's my desire to give you the kingdom. It's my pleasure. He's looking to give the people whose hands are out, who are looking at him, not looking down. I can't look at his face because I'm unworthy. He just gave you. He wants to give you the kingdom. We're going like, not me. I'm not ready. I'm afraid. I'm not. Well, if you hang out with him, all that will go. He'll make you ready. He'll make you able. He'll give you the right perspective. He'll show you how to handle all this power.
Thank you for removing the thorn from my foot. What you've just said.
Good.
I like that. Thank you for saying that.
Removing the thorn from my foot.
Good. That's a good thing. Verse 5, the last part. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Why can they do that from their beds? Because they're laying down going, finally, my city is free from darkness. Now my kids can go to school and I'm worried about a sleep teacher teaching the wrong things. I can turn on the TV and there's going to be no sex, lust, perversion because I've cleared the airways, because I've taken responsibility over my city and over the media. I have now taken my place as the Son of God. Or do we go, man, what is someone going to do about government? When is someone? You are the someone.
Come on.
You are the solution. You are. You are. As he is, so are you in the earth today. If you want to be, or you can go like, well, you know, I don't want to. Seems like a lot of work. It's a lot of work on his part. All you gotta do is go to practice.
Amen.
If you just show up, my friends who are trainers at gyms, they say, if I can get the person just to come to the gym, not sign up for a class, not getting work, just get used to coming in, then the rest will follow. If I can get you guys just to go and say, hey, Father, is anything that guy said true? I get you to engage a little bit. That's taking a step towards you, towards him. Take a step towards you. But if you just live on your butt and go like, wow, good message, Wally. If you're only a hearer and not no heart to do, then it's just like, I wasted my time. Kinda. I'm called to sow it out there. Someone's going to catch it. Someone's going to take that pass and go and score. It's going to happen. I'm going to keep pitching it. I'm going to keep pitching it. I believe. Pitch. Pitch. And one of these days you're going to catch it. Make that move, what you got, learn or practice. Come back. Pitch it to your mate. He pitches back. Touchdown. Get that try. Kick it. And repeat. You're going to kick some devil butt. Live a life where you can sleep in your bed. Enjoy, because I did what my Father said. He's so happy. I'm happy. We're happy. It's all good.
Have
right?
Some Kit Kat.
Have some Kit Kat?
Kit Kat.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds good. It says, let the high, verse 6, let the high praises of God be in their throats, the two-edged sword in their hand, to wreak vengeance upon the nations.
Oh. What? Oh,
wow. Very important, the right one. To wreak vengeance upon the nations and chastise upon the peoples, and to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters, to execute upon them the judgment written, he is the Lord, this is the honor of all the saints. He's called us to do some mighty things. We can't do them in our own strength. Remember, we can't even see what to do. But he can equip our eyes, see the right thing, give us the right timing. We got to hang out with him. You got to figure out what is that. You know, I wear my Superman stuff to remind me that I'm not normal. If I want to walk in that kind of power and authority, I know the source. I wear this. This reminds me, Wally. Kryptonite is everywhere. Spend time with the Father. Right? Okay. Very easy. You know. Every once in a while, I get goaded into a fight. This is my last story. I was taking the garbage out one day, and I walked out and threw the garbage in the trunk, and I looked at the sky, and I came back inside, and my wife said, how's the weather outside? And I said, intimidating. She goes, what? I said, the weather's intimidating. She goes, is it raining or cloudy? I said, no. I said, I think this cloud wants a fight. She goes, what? And she was, I didn't say anything else. She left to go to, she, my wife has horses, and she left. I'm picking out the window, looking in the sky, because I felt like this cloud wanted to do something. And I'm like, oh, I'm picking out there. And I think to myself, I could take it. This is what I'm thinking. I could take, because a few months earlier, or maybe a year earlier, I went against a hurricane. You have hurricanes here? Tornado type things come with the water.
The odd one.
The odd one. Well, I'd taken on one called Sandy and won.
On the earthquake.
Earthquake. Well, anyway, I started that. Yeah, that's a different story. I think I caused the last earthquake. That's a different story. We'll do that in question and answer time. What do you mean you caused the earthquake? Don't you know the Christ Church can't take anymore? Anyway, I'm picking up the window. I think from my experience, I think I could take the cloud. Okay. And so I'm about to go outside to war against a cloud. Now you're thinking, why would you do that? Because I think I can. It's a deal. Before I go outside, I ask my father, God, can I fight the cloud? He says, yes. This is my time for war. I don't know your time. Can I fight the cloud? Yes. Will I win? Yes. I go to the door. He says, I go, oh, I'm sorry, was there something else? You should not fight the cloud now. I go, what? You said I'd win. Yeah, but that cloud is trying to get you to fight it without me. And it's setting you up for the next battle. You'd win this one, but then you'd think that you could take all. And the next one, you would think, since you won this one, you'd be smacked. You get beat down. I went, oh! They're thinking out there. Yeah, there's strategies. You're not just playing the game up there. There's things that are strategizing against you. You need the wisdom of God. You need to stay close to the Father. Maturity is growing more dependent upon God, not less dependent. Okay? So, if you see someone pick a fight, don't go. Go for it. Father, what's going on here? What's going on? I know I could take him. I got scripture, I got word. But let me check in with you first. This is when we need good counsel. Okay? And so we have the right timing, the right heart, the right equipment, the right understanding. And then we will then be the violent. We will then be the terrible ones on the earth, like the earth has never seen before. We will be the ones that eye has not seen, ears not heard about, and we will bring nations and kings unto the Father and go, Father, look what I brought you. Ah, Troy, are you bringing me another nation? Yeah. Get on you, boy. You know, get a high five from God and go get another nation and bring it back. Right? It's supposed to be that easy and not a struggle. The struggle is only between you and your head, not you and territory. The struggle is, will you believe or will you unbelieve? Okay? That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you.